Welcome everyone into the B-Section Podcast, brought to you by The Morning Times and The Daily Review. I'm Kirk Loveson, joined as always by David Goff and Logan Hill. And if you are in the car right now, we hope you're on your way to Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania for the 2A State Championship, which is what the majority of this episode is going to be about. But before we get into any of this, we want to thank our presenting sponsor. Logan, hit me with The Jolly Farmer.
Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store in Waverly. When you think about convenience, think about the Jolly Farmer over there in Waverly. The supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and grocery items, lottery tickets, and even that pick-me-up cup of coffee, they have it all for you. Visit the Jolly Farmer, 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly. It's open 7 days a week. They got all the grocery needs you need, right? Do they also have like snow shovels and stuff like that? Maybe a scraper, maybe somewhere off on like a side aisle. David, have you been? Would you know?
There's only one way for me to stop this, and I keep failing every week. So.
Every week. We even taping later in the week would have had some extra time today to get to the Jolly Farmer.
They got all kinds of little tidbits, too. Koozies, all kinds of stuff. Maybe, you name it.
Maybe you could do your Christmas shopping there.
Yeah. I like it. So, as we said, we hope you are on your way to Mechanicsburg right now. Today at 1 p.m. is the big one. The Troy Trojans, they're going to take on Central Clarion for the 2A State Championship at Cumberland Valley High School. Again, that's at 1 p.m. today. We're not going to do any teasers. We're not going to beat around the bush. Let's start off right away with how Troy got to today. They beat Riverside last week 35-14. Logan, let's talk about how the Trojans got to today.
They gutted it out. They were up 7 points at halftime, which it's funny. That's a good place for any team to be, but it's not where they're used to being. They're used to being closer to the mercy rule side of things after two quarters, or maybe a quarter and a half, maybe even sometimes just one quarter. So they were up 7 points, and Riverside was getting the ball, chance to take to potentially tie or maybe even take the lead if they were feeling crazy. So what does Riverside do coming out of the locker room? They use up all but 35 seconds of the third quarter on their drive. Drive does not end in points. They work their way all the way down the field, end up getting behind the sticks, and punt from the Trojan side of the field. But so Troy ran one play in the third quarter. It was a run, and then the start of the fourth, they're up 7, and basically haven't touched the football in 40 minutes of real time. From there, they're able to punch in a score. They get a score. They get another one. And it really just starts to grow. They finish with 3 interceptions in the ball game, 2 there in the second half. So really just a second half shutout. And their defense, we've come in here every week this season. And Troy's offense, oh my goodness. Troy's, except for 1 week, which was a trip out to Delaware. But is, oh my goodness, their offense just can't be stopped. Or even their defense adding to the scoring total. Instead, their defense just held and didn't allow another point after halftime and to move on and keep this dream season going.
A dream season, absolutely. It brings us to today again, Friday at 1 p.m., Cumberland Valley High School in Mechanicsburg. Troy will play for the 2A state championship against Central Clarion out of Western Pennsylvania. Let's try to dive in a little bit with some comparables and who to watch for and stuff like that. David, give me, you know, some comparable stat lines to what we're looking for in total points, stuff like that. What can you give us?
Yeah, so this isn't exactly 100% foolproof in terms of comparing teams because they're not playing the same teams all year long. They've never had any common opponents. But I did kind of just added up the point differentials to see what was going on. Effectively, Central Clarion has outscored their opponents 49.6 points per game to 5.6. Troy has done it 52.3 to 13.5. So that just tells you neither of these teams have really been tested.
No, this is each other's biggest test for sure, and that's how it's supposed to be in a state championship. Logan, to try to get our listeners familiar with what to expect today from this Central Clarion team, which none of us have really seen or know much about, who do we watch for? Who's their driving force? Who to keep an eye on if you're the Trojans looking at Central Clarion?
With Central Clarion, it's almost too simple, but it's this simple. Watch their quarterback. I believe he's number one. Jace Ferguson is his name. I think he had 7 touchdowns in their win over South Park in the semifinals. Okay. It kind of starts with him. Talking to Troy coach Jim Smith this week, a little bit like a Riley Vanderpool of a Towanda, a little bit like the Bedford quarterback Quincy Swaim, who they played a couple weeks back. Most of their offense goes through their quarterback, whether it's the run game or obviously the pass game, but it works out, too, that he wears number one. So keep a focus on number one if you're on the opposition sidelines, because that's where Central Clarion's going to try to get their things going on the offensive side of the ball. Which, and I think David could even attest to, at high school football, it's not an uncommon thing to see the quarterback kind of runs the show if he's that dynamic, yeah. And it sounds like they have a guy that's that dynamic.
Great quarterback matchup. Of course, the Trojans, led by Evan Woodward, they're going to come in. Let's talk players in here and who needs to step up to get a state championship brought home to Troy. We've done this several times in weeks leading up to this final. We go with X factors. Who's that guy going to be? Who needs to step up big for Troy? Is it old reliables? Is it someone new? Do you guys expect to see something different?
Didn't Lincoln Kimmick start the game last week with another kickoff return?
His second postseason kickoff, opening kickoff return.
It just feels like he's done it narratively. It just feels like he's done it every week now. It feels like if he's able to do something on special teams, that's going to be huge for Troy.
Absolutely. So, Lincoln Kimmick's for David. Logan, who do you see as someone who needs to jump off the field today?
I think if Troy gets a strong game from Brendan Gilliland, he's kind of been, if you had to put a name to it, right, the postseason driving force, I guess I would say. He's had some really big rushing totals out of the backfield for these Trojans in these playoffs. And it's been all year, just maybe not as many opportunities and games that were far apart quickly, and maybe you don't give him as many carries down the stretch. He finished with 87 yards last week and 2 touchdowns. I believe one of those, no, so 3 total touchdowns and 2 rushing scores and a receiving score last week. So he was the one that found pay dirt early and often for Troy a week ago. And he's kind of just been their home run hitter, but maybe that's not even right. Maybe Evan Woodward's been the home run hitter, whereas Gilliland's been the guy that is going to get you 4 singles in a game, to use a couple of baseball analogies. But it's just, if he goes out and is able to take 15 carries for close to 100 yards, I think you like where you're at as an offense with Troy, because then you factor in Kale Millard getting 3 yards a carry from the fullback spot, Evan Woodward maybe breaking a run or two from the quarterback on a keeper, Mason Smith getting it on some sort of a reverse. We've said it all year long, and we'll continue to say it, is Troy has options. I mean, even Lincoln Kimmick hauls in a big catch last week. I believe it went for 41 yards. So they're not scarce of options of guys that can do things with the football on the offensive side of the ball. And if any of them has an outstanding game, maybe that ends up being the deciding factor. I don't think there's any one person that is more or less going to be the decider, but I think if they continue to get the kind of games they've gotten from guys to reach this point, they put themselves in a pretty good spot.
So let's talk about what all our listeners can expect from us. We'll plug post-game coverage here in a minute. If you're listening to this bright and early and you haven't got on the road yet, what can readers look for the Daily Review and from you, Logan, in terms of previewing this football game?
I've been thinking about it. We're going to have a preview story out. Check it out online, because the way we've changed our distribution in the last couple of weeks, it might come to you in hard print a couple of hours later. You might already be down at the game. You might not get to check it out until you get home. But we've been out. We talked to people in the community. We talked to some of the players. We talked to Coach Smith. Just previewing. One thing that I've thought about this week is go back and read some of the last couple of weeks' stories, because I'm really proud of the work we've been able to do in getting some of these kids previewed, as they've been the only athletes still going in the area, in the NTL area we cover in Bradford County. I mean, we've done stories on middle linebackers, outside linebackers, fullbacks, the kick returners. We did, that was one of the early stories we did. Even the offensive line, Woodward at quarterback. So go back and look up, type into Troy Football in the Daily Review website and just read some of those stories, because this has been a run that has never been done before in the NTL. This is the first NTL team, as far as I know. I've only been up here for 2 football seasons, but the first team to make it to the final game. So this is, it's history in real time. Go back and read some of that.
So big games obviously call for big coverage, and it sounds like we're going to have all hands on deck today at Cumberland Valley High School. David, you're going to be in the area. Logan, you're going to be down there. We got some other people helping out.
There's also been talk of a potential live blog going on.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit about what we got for coverage for today's game and what people can get.
I mean, I'll be there. I'll be tweeting. David will be there. I'm sure he'll be firing out some stuff, whether it's after the fact, whether it's during the fact. We still have that to work out. Our focus is there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be there. We're going to be on the field. Hopefully it's a little bit warmer than it was Friday night at 7 a week ago. I'm thankful that the sun should hopefully be out for this game, but we're going to have photographers. I'll have my camera. I'm sure David's going to bring his camera. We haven't nailed it down yet. We're taping this at 2:30 on Thursday to come out Friday morning, but the bodies are going to be there. And our goal is to bring the best coverage. however the game goes. If you ask me, I think the game, when you take strength against strength, which is what it feels like Troy and Central Clarion are, it just comes down to who makes less mistakes, and that's something that Coach Smith has said in the weeks leading up. So you flip a coin, maybe it goes Troy's way tomorrow, it goes Central
Clarion. I'm just saying, like, 50-6, 52-13 are very similar point differentials. However, like, Troy has not played a defense like Central Clarion. There's six shutouts of their 14 games. They've shut out six teams. That's 5.6 points per game. That's nuts.
Yeah, I'm very...
And then, of course, you see Troy has put up 84 points and 60 points five times this year.
I'm very curious to see who cancels each other out. Do the defenses cancel each other out? Or do we have this offensive shootout? I mean, what are we expecting from two teams who have had no issue putting up points, but also no issue really stopping their opponent? It's that irresistible force meets the immovable object, right? Who's going to budge? Who breaks? We're in for a really good one today at 1 p.m., and we don't have to really be unobjective here. Let's hope the Trojans get it done today and do something no NTL team ever has.
That's one thing that I find myself talking about this week, because obviously we're going to be there. We're going to cover the game, whether it's win or lose. It's a lot. It makes our jobs a lot more fun to sit down and do. Being that it would be a win, right? It's a lot more fun to be able to sit down and put together the banner, state champion. I don't want that to take away. Look, the football game's going to get played. Someone's going to win. Someone's going to lose.
Yep.
This run is historic, whether or not Troy finishes it. Obviously, they want to finish it off. That's the goal. That's what everybody in the town, that's what everybody in the county wants to see, because it makes you feel represented.
You're connected,
right?
Yeah.
So hopefully the magical storybook season ends on the high note, but I don't want it to take away from the fact that even if something goes Central Clarion's way and they're able to win that game, these kids, these players, this coaching staff, this team has already made the history. It's just how does the history wrap up?
It's the best Troy team in history.
And I texted David and I texted you before we sat down to tape today. David has an interesting perspective that I don't have, is he covered their first game of the season. Yeah, I haven't been able to go back and look at it yet. I'm going to look into it today. Maybe one of the only times Troy has trailed all year. Twice in a game that David covered.
On an opening kickoff return from Nick Pelicano of Sarah, thinking, whoa, what, this is interesting. And then all of a sudden, Troy formed into the team that you were going to see the whole season long, where they were up 42-12 anyway after the first quarter.
That's a great tie-in.
They scored the final 77 points of that night. And then a week later, they had to go to Dover and they had to earn it a different way. So the story's really been blowouts. We want to get to this point. We want to get to this point. And talking to Coach Smith last week, Southern Columbia was the hump to
gotta
cross.
Get over it.
And they did it, and they did it emphatically. And Southern Columbia has won the last seven championships in 2A, so you like your chances, having been the ones to knock off that team, to maybe go do the same thing.
So it is Troy versus Central Clarion for the 2A state championship today at Cumberland Valley High School in Mechanicsburg at 1 p.m. If you haven't gotten on the road yet, get yourself a copy of the Daily Review. Logan's got you covered with preview stuff. Again, big games call for all hands on deck. Logan and David will both be there. We'll have other people shooting. We'll have live tweets. We got you covered all game. And then, of course, make sure to check out both the Daily Review and the Morning Times for, you know, game coverage, game stories, post game. We got you covered for what is the biggest game in NTL football history in a very long time, maybe ever.
And as Logan said, the paper copy might not be there in time, so check it online.
It might
check
not be online. On your doorstep, and hit the website because it will be up there.
The cool thing about that, too, is that you could be sitting in your seat at Cumberland Valley High School, pull it up on your phone, and just read the preview article right as kickoff is about to happen.
Great point. Absolutely.
Before, I don't think we're going to turn the... I mean, we've talked about it here for 13 minutes or so now. David, you have some familiarity with this high school, with this arena. What can fans kind of, if you're listening to this beforehand, expect from the venue? And now it sounds like it's been a while since you've been there.
And they've heavily renovated it.
Great spot to watch a game.
Yeah. So, look, my childhood, right, when I was in elementary school, I had an older cousin who played for Cumberland Valley football. He's a Hall of Famer for that program, which is really cool to say. But, like, I don't know, half of their home games for like 3 or 4 years. So I've been to that field a lot. I went to Central Dauphin, which is a rival of Cumberland Valley. But other than Central Dauphin's field, where I was a member of the band and I was at every game there, the field I've been to the second most times in my life in terms of high school football field is Cumberland Valley. Now it's a bigger stadium. The state championship used to be at Hershey Park Stadium, which was kind of a cooler location just because it's Hershey Park. But I think, as money-wise, Cumberland Valley is a rich huge school. So like, we'll take the state championship, and they've had it there for a year or two now. But they have a big scoreboard. They have big bleachers.
Great facility for a state championship.
It's a cool venue. I'm excited to be there because it's part of my childhood memories.
Friday's weather, partly cloudy, high of 34, low of 25. So if you are listening to this, hopefully you packed that extra jacket because you're probably going to want it. Hopefully you got some gloves because I don't know about you guys. I hate when my fingers get cold to the point that I can't really use them anymore.
Yeah.
I asked David about the venue. I want to ask you about the history, Kirk. You maybe not closely to it, but Canton went on a run like this a couple years ago. They went down in the state semis. So just what was it kind of like a couple years ago? Because this is the latest team to kind of make that run.
It's the connectivity, right? It's what you said earlier. You feel a part of something, whether you're an Athens alum, whether you currently attend Sayre, whether you're in Wyalusing and played Troy. This has never been done. This is something that Canton was thought to be historic a few years ago. They came up a game shy of this. Nobody's made it. This is history. And if you're an NTL fan, if you are an NTL alum, if you just are from and have been following high school football from this area, you feel a connection to this Troy team and what they could potentially be in line to accomplish. And that's by winning the game. They've accomplished just getting to the state final and being in an opportunity like this to play today at 1 p.m., it feels big, it feels important, and it feels very exciting regardless of where you're from or where you attended, and that makes it special.
Yeah, I mean, this last year, we covered Tioga and Waverly in New York and the Syracuse Dome winning their state championships, and so I remember thinking how cool it was just to see those communities come out to drive north of Syracuse and see all that. Not to bring it back to me, but my junior year of high school was also the only time Central Dauphin has ever won a football state championship, so I got to experience that as a part of it. I was part of the band. People came to Hershey. It was snowing that night. It was kind of a magical feeling. There's nothing like seeing your community in a big spot like that.
And if you're a player, doesn't get any bigger.
No.
The feeling doesn't get bigger. The memories won't get bigger. This is historic from a viewer standpoint, but what it's really about is those players and what they did to get here, and that they'll be able to know that forever. And that's what makes sports great.
The last thing I'll say about, and we can close the book on this, is if we haven't tried to build it up enough for you, Troy canceled school tomorrow to allow people to go support that team. That's how big of a moment this is for that community.
And I'm going to take one thing back
today.
That I said.
Troy canceled school today.
Yeah. I'll take one thing back. There might be one team out there that maybe doesn't want to see this victory, and it could be Canton.
But that's not the sentiment I'm getting. That's not the sentiment I'm getting.
Exactly, which is why this is so cool.
It's sort of a respectful, hey, there are rivals, but it's like we're brothers.
Go get them, yeah.
Yeah, like this is your moment.
Great point.
Go do it because we're proud of you, right?
Absolutely.
So the one team I would say maybe doesn't want to see it happen is Southern Columbia.
Yeah, right. Oh, they definitely don't. But if that, from NTL perspective, you'd think if anyone had a right to be like, oh man, I don't want to see him go far in us. And that's, like you said, that's not the feeling you're getting.
No, and it's not. And it makes sense why it would be that, right? Like, oh, like, God, they're going to hold this over us. But it's like, hey, in the bigger scheme of things, we're one community, one league, one county, a couple of townships that are connected by a couple of miles. We want to see you go put us further on the map in the great big Commonwealth that Pennsylvania is.
Absolutely. So with that said, we're not going to get into any other sports this week. We're going to let this big game stand on its own. But as far as the direction of the podcast going forward, we're getting into winter sports. Mm-hmm. The season has started. We got some hoops action that's gotten underway. Plenty more to come with wrestling, etc. And going forward, as we wrap up, you know, the last item on the fall list here, we'll have you more than covered on the podcast in future episodes with winter sports. So continue to stay tuned and follow us along with that.
They've gotten started. They're not important. We've been out there. We've been to some games. Now, I think David and I both did basketball on Wednesday night. But it's just a moment like this doesn't come around every year, theoretically, so we wanted to just kind of let it stand on its own.
Absolutely. So with that said, let's jump into some national stuff, and then we'll get you out of here for the big game. Before we do that, one more time with the Jolly Farmer, Logan.
I think David should read the ad.
All right, David.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right.
I like that. Big week. Calls for big things.
I thought this entire time that Logan has a good voice for this.
No, nope,
I don't.
You got it.
All right. Ugh. Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store. When you think convenience, Thank the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From our supersized selection of microbrewery beers to our bakery and grocery items, lottery tickets, and a pick-me-up cup of coffee, we have it all for you. Visit the Jolly Farmer, 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly, open 7 days a week.
It's a tongue twister, isn't it?
I also talk too fast.
Yeah, but that right there, that read, I think it propels David to go. I think that's what it took.
It's going
to
be, well, I guess we
think we should reiterate that I have been there once. It just hasn't been recent.
All right. College football playoff. We're down to the, speaking of down to, I mean, the last few weeks of something here. We're into championship week this weekend. That'll kind of decide it all, and then we'll have our playoff bracket. But the last projected bracket, I think, still has Oregon, the number one overall seed. Logan, who's 2, 3, and 4?
2 is Texas, 3 right now is SMU, and 4 is Boise State.
And give us the first round matchups.
Number 9, Tennessee, at number 8, Ohio State in Ohio State. These are home games, the first round.
That's a good game.
Number 12, Arizona State, at number 5, Penn State, which would be in a couple hours.
I don't think Penn State would hate that.
No.
Number 11, Alabama, at number 6, Notre Dame.
Great game.
Another great game. And then number 10, Indiana, at number 7, Georgia.
Terrible.
I was going to say, it feels like a Bulldogs route.
So, based off of that, the first observation, in case you couldn't hear it in my voice, is I'm not sure Indiana belongs.
I mean, you can't leave them out. They're 11-1. They're the reason why the 12-team playoff exists, because they're 11-1.
You're absolutely right. I just hated the way it looked against Ohio State. It looked like they didn't belong on the same field, but
Penn State also looked poor against Ohio State.
Penn State looked poor, too.
And then Ohio State looked poor against Michigan. So that just tells you this season is weird.
Of all the first-round games, I think Penn State would have the best draw, other than if they can beat Oregon this weekend for the Big Ten Championship and get a bye. If they were to stay in that 5 seed with a loss, Arizona State, not a bad first-round draw.
No.
What else you guys take from that bracket or college football in general as the season winds down?
How about more of Syracuse kind of ending Miami's postseason?
9-3 Syracuse.
I don't think they'd get into this year's bracket, but to play spoiler to an ACC rival like that and just kind of the turnaround this program's been on.
That and Syracuse finishes with 9 wins. Kyle McCord breaks the single-season passing record. Great first year for head coach Fran Brown.
Yeah.
Which David might know a lot about.
He was a very good assistant coach at Temple, and he should be Temple.
Assistant coach with Temple at one point.
His last job was at Georgia.
Yep.
But he had 2 different stints at Temple, and it's like we had 4 or 5 different coaching changes in the last 10 years whatever. It's like, why didn't you take that guy seriously?
Big season for the Orange. They finished 9-3. McCord sets a single season record. Fran Brown off to a great start. The only what ifs is, man, if they didn't drop that early season game to Stanford, they could be looking at an ACC championship berth right now. But the wind blows different ways sometimes.
I feel like the weirdest, maybe most controversial thing of the playoff, what the playoff looks like right now, is that if SMU loses, they're the number 3 seed, but if SMU loses to Clemson, SMU might just be straight up kicked out.
In favor of like an Alabama or somebody, right?
Yeah, I mean, Bama's already in. The other part of it, too, is like there's the debate between Miami and Alabama.
Yeah, that's
it. Alabama's 9-3. But
SMU Miami would just be totally 10-2. Out.
Yeah, so there's a lot of ACC versus SEC debate going
Very interesting.
This is such a tangent, but I think I'm going to bring it up because I feel like it fits on a podcast. Like this. We're talking college football playoff. I recently, in the last week or so, dove back into my college football dynasty in the game. I was in the year 2037. Stanford head coach, Coach Logan Hilltopper.
Oh, nice.
Can't win the big one. Has done everything else. Can't win the big one. Take Stanford back to the national championship game. I think after previously being in it and losing, routed everybody. The committee didn't rank me first, even though we were undefeated. They don't respect Coach Logan Hilltopper. Gets to the championship game, playing Nebraska, a team that this Cardinal beat already during the season. Comes down to it, going to be in a good position to take the win. I think it was a tie ball game. Running back fumbles at the 5-yard line. Okay, goes to OT. Only playing offense because just want to win the big one. Just want to win one big one. And goes to OT, scores a touchdown, gives up a touchdown. Holds them to a field goal, needs a touchdown to win it. 4th and 5, okay, we'll kick the field goal, we'll keep playing. They call a timeout, try to ice it. No, we're going to go for it. Get the first down, 1st and goal. Quarterback scramble to the goal line, forced fumble, Nebraska wins.
You got to coach better ball security, brother.
I guess. I guess Coach Loga Hilltopper is not meant to win the big one.
The Cardinals were not coached well on ball security.
The kicker to it all, the guy who forced the fumble, his CPU generated name, Johnny Awesome.
Oh boy,
Johnny Awesome forced a fumble at the goal line.
That's Johnny Williams.
To win
Williams.
The Cornhuskers
a
national title.
A-W-E-S-O-M-E.
Yes, that's, awesome.
What is that?
That's Johnny Williams infiltrating your life and making things hard.
The college football. This is where moments get amplified, and we're coming up to conference championship week. And
watch for some fumbles on the goal line.
The other night of the game, the Ohio State Michigan, the way it played out, it opens the door for Penn State with a win to go to the game, which they since did.
Yep.
They played Maryland, and I can't think of a worse scenario as a Maryland alum for the team that I cover, the team that I grew up supporting, than finding out that their opponent they're playing on the road 10 minutes before with a win can go into the
yeah, that's a tough.
And then it played out exactly like that. So
unable to play spoiler.
Do you see a clip before Penn State ran out and did their entrance? There was a fan in the student section saying, "You're going to Indy, boys. You're going to Indy."
And James Franklin's like.
No, we are focused on Maryland.
Yeah, that's tough.
And then they were.
That's a tough spot to be in.
It was disgusting. I almost went, and I'm glad I did not because I would have been miserable.
Good teams don't look ahead, right?
It's going to be a very fun couple of weeks in college football.
Yeah.
This is the first year of it being 12. It's going to be 14 before we know it. Yeah. And then we'll be talking about the 15th team,
right?
That team that got left out.
Last bit of stuff on the docket, NFL. We had Ravens-Eagles. Logan unable to conquer the entire round table.
I've been very tired. I've been working all of day shifts this week. He's gotten some work done, but he's kind of been like, Logan, do this, Logan, do that. And I'm like, yes, sir, got it.
He checked off the Cowboys. He checked off the Bills, but the Eagles.
Lamar Jackson is 23-2 against the NFC.
Saquon Barkley is the Lamar Jackson stopper. That's what I figured out.
Yeah.
Two wins, Barkley.
I'm not going to sit here and just gloat because they could very well meet each other in the Super Bowl and it could easily go the other way.
And that would be fun.
Yeah.
David would not be
Saquon Barkley MVP conversation. He's been fantastic.
He should be. Lamar's probably out of it now just because he's 8-5.
Yeah, it's tough
to
do.
I'm not trying to take a shot. I'm just saying he probably took a hit.
I hear you because it's becoming more and more of a narrative-based award. If he gets a big-time win, his numbers this year are better than his numbers have ever been. Yeah.
Okay.
That's where you make
the case. It goes to show you the narrative, though, even when that's the case.
It feels like he's out of it. This is the far and away the best season. I think he's leading the league in passing. If not, he's second.
Record and stuff, it creeps into people's brains.
But last year, his stats didn't match up, but the Ravens' big thing was that they were beating all these winning teams handedly. And so I think it's actually right now, I think it's Josh Allen's to lose. Saquon is a fun story. I just can't see them giving it to a running back.
It's just one of those years where it feels like if they're ever going to give it to a running back ever again, it's this year.
Right. If his quarterback, Jalen Hurts, didn't poach so many of his rushing touchdowns,
it's fair. Bills gave us a snow game and dominated the 49ers.
That was
showing that. That type of game, it is an advantage.
So that's the funny thing with Josh Allen's MVP candidacy, too, is he's not lighting the world on fire, but he's having those moments.
There's moments.
And that touchdown where Amari Cooper just handed the ball and tossed the ball back to him was awesome.
And the turnovers are way down.
That's ridiculous. If we're going to pause there for 1 second, to get a passing and a receiving touchdown on that same play and have it scored like that in fantasy football.
Well, he's also he had a passing, a rushing, and a receiving touchdown all in one game, all in a snowy blizzard.
On back-to-back plays.
Yeah, and he's over 25 total touchdowns to only 5 turnovers.
Yeah, the turnovers have crept way down, which has been the big knock, right?
Yeah, and what does it lead to? The Bills are looking at a potential one seed. I mean,
have you ever attended a snow game in Buffalo? I know you say you go to the Patriots game every year.
Flurries. Flurries is the best I've gotten. I've never been fortunate enough to be in a big... But I did have a bunch of cousins, and my sister was also at... the Bills 49ers game this past weekend.
Okay.
I remember, I think I said on the pod, I had a chance to go to that one. My sister was going to get tickets for all of us. I couldn't make the trip. She goes with her husband. My cousins end up going. I see him in all the photos. Didn't know they were going. And here I am left out of the of the blizzard game against the 49ers.
But I'm sure the bowl of chili you had with you Sunday night made it an easy
and getting out of that traffic in a blizzard didn't mind
either.
Wasn't
there something weird though, where the city of Buffalo was totally fine?
Yeah, that's the weird thing with lake effect snow. That's how it works out when you're in a lake effect area. You could have a totally beautiful day on one end of the city, and in the other, it looked like Sunday night. But everyone, all of our teams still positioned to do well. We're all climbing in the right direction. Our locks, not for me so much. I lose, you both win. Let's talk about locks this week.
I don't have a record in front of me, but I believe that makes you and I tied with two
and
losses.
And David ahead. I think David ahead by two games.
Yeah.
So, David, that means you start us off.
So, he's decided this week to really give himself a chance.
Are the Lions playing the Jets? I'm going Steelers over Browns. Browns just beat the Steelers in a snow game 2 weeks ago. I just think the Steelers get their get back.
Like it. Logan.
I'm looking around the board. I don't really know where I would like to go. You know what? We'll pick Sunday night. We will take the... It's a great matchup. Do you have a pick? Make your pick.
I got a pick. Make your pick. I think it is. Is it Chiefs Chargers Sunday night?
Yeah.
Because I got the Chiefs. Okay. That's my lock. Okay. I know the Chargers are good. I know Jim Harbaugh's got them in the right direction. Herbert's been fantastic this year. But the Chiefs, people are starting to doubt him a little bit. And when that happens, all of a sudden Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes show back up and show why they're, you know, defending Super Bowl champions.
And the Chargers just cannot beat the Chiefs.
Yeah. Either. It's still the Chiefs division to lose until otherwise. So I'll go with the Chiefs with my lock of the week. I say they prove it Sunday night.
So I let you go first. And there goes
took that pick.
My pick. What do we think about this? Chargers over the Chiefs on Sunday night.
Let's get out of this tie.
Let's go head to head. I like it. It's in Kansas City. Doesn't make me feel good, but this feels like where Jim Harbaugh goes and gets a signature victory.
Yep.
And the Chiefs, who they played last week, the Raiders, in a game that they had a chance to lose.
The Raiders should have won that game.
Yeah, I like it.
We're going to go head to head across the table. Yeah,
that's good. All right. That's it for this week. Troy, Central Clarion, today at 1 p.m. Get there. It's in Mechanicsburg. It's at Cumberland Valley High School. It's the 2A state final. Good luck to the Trojans, and we can't wait to talk about it next week. David, Logan, they'll have you all the coverage. Preview stuff's out there right now. Post-game coverage will be both online and in the review, and I'm sure in the Times as well. Please check out as much of it as you can. These guys have worked really hard for you this year in covering it, and the Trojans deserve it all. So good luck to Troy, and we'll talk about it next week. See you then.